You know, it's great to be in the house, and it's great to see what God is doing in this house over the last couple of months. You know, God's Spirit has become very tangible in this house. And just sitting under the worship and sitting under the Word of God, it has been a great time here. And this morning I'm going to share, we're still continuing on in the series of Step by Step. And Noel spoke last week about knowing God. And I'm actually going to continue on kind of on the same lines of knowing God, but about encountering God. And I want to talk about a man in the Bible that encountered God and how God encountered him. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look at Luke 19. And it's a well-known story about Zacchaeus. But just before we get into it, Father, we thank you this morning for your presence here, Lord, in the house. Father, we thank you for the worship. Father, we thank you for our worship unto you, Lord. And Father, I thank you for your word this morning, Lord God, that your word would not return void, that your word would be released in the house this morning, and that it would accomplish what it set out to accomplish, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I read a story about a pastor who rang the house of this family that had come to visit his church. And when he rang the house, a little boy answered the phone. And the little boy said in a gentle, whispered voice, "Hello." And the pastor asked who he was speaking to. And the little voice said, "It's Jimmy." So the pastor asks, "How old are you, Jimmy?" And he says, "I'm 4. So then the pastor says to him, he said, "Can I speak to your mom?" And little Jimmy says, "She's busy." So he says, "Well, can I speak to your dad?" So little Jimmy says, "No, he's busy." So the pastor's like, "Okay." He said, "Is there any grown-ups in the house?" And little Jimmy says, "The police." So the pastor says, "Well, can you put the police on the phone?" And he says, "No, they're busy." So the pastor's like, "Well, is there anybody else in the house?" So he says, "Yeah, the fireman." So the pastor said, "Well, can you put the fireman on the phone?" So he says, "No," he says, "they're busy." So the pastor says, "Jimmy, what are they all busy doing?" And little Jimmy says, "They're all busy looking for me." Amen. Amen. And you know, that just ties in with my sermon this morning. You know, from the beginning of time, as people, we've been trying to hide from God. You know, Adam and Eve were the first people that were on the earth. They were the first people that were set in the Garden of Eden. They were the first people that had a perfect marriage. They had a perfect relationship with God. They lived in the most magnificent place. And they had fellowship with God. And you know, one day, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, sin entered the world. And when the sin entered the world, Adam and Eve became exposed to their shame. They became exposed to their nakedness. So what they did was, they made garments out of fig leaves and they covered themselves. They covered their shame. They covered their nakedness and they wanted to hide. And God came in the garden that day and God called out, "Where are you?" And Adam heard God when he called out and he said, "I was afraid. I was afraid and that's why I hid." And there's so many people that are hiding. There's so many people hiding. Whether it's from a doctor's report, whether it's from a boss, whether it's from your mom, your dad, whether it's from the police. There's so many of us that hide. And why we hide is because we don't want to face up to things. And I remember a couple of years back, I think I was in my 20s, I must have been. But a couple of years back, I remember I went to do my driving test. And you know when you're going to do your driving test, you're full of anxiety. You're full of, worry. Am I going to get this? Am I going to pass and all that? And that day I passed my driving test. And it was like, getting €1 million. And I was on top of the world. I had this little form to say that I'd passed my driving test. So it was like I could take the world on. I got overconfident and overzealous. And I decided on the way home, while I was sitting in traffic, and it was rush hour traffic, I would take this access route. And an access route I shouldn't have taken. So I took the access route, and next of all, there was a squad car behind me, and the sirens were screaming for me to pull in. So I pulled in, and the guard gets out, and he walks up to me, and he has a notebook, and he has a pen. And I'm like, oh, really? Really? You just passed your driving test, and now you're going to get booked. So I had this split. For a split second, I had a thought, and I said to myself, I'm going to slam my foot on the accelerator, and I'm going to make a quick getaway out of here, and I'm going to become a fugitive all over a driving test. But you know what I really wanted to do? I wanted to hide. I wanted to hide from the guards. I wanted to hide away from the fine, from the booking. And you know what? I did get booked that day. And Dad, you didn't know that. But that's what we do as people. We hide. We don't want to face up to things. And we run and we hide from God and when we've done something wrong. And we don't want to face up or we don't want to tell anybody what we've done. And if you've come here this morning to hear from God, and if you only hear this, I want you to know that God is on the chase. God is on the chase. And God is on the chase for you here this morning. For you here this morning. And God will seek you out. And if you're hiding, God will chase you until he gets you. Amen? So let's turn to scripture. It's in Luke 19 and it's Zacchaeus. And let's read it. Okay. Yeah. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. And you know, when I was putting this together this week, you begin to see who God really is. You begin to get that revelation, that God does love us all. And Sophie spoke about the love of God here this morning. And Jesus comes to this town. And Zacchaeus wants to see him. But there's a crowd of people pressing in all around him. He's so short, Zacchaeus, in height, that it was impossible for him to see Jesus. And you see, Jesus, he's on the outskirts. He's unpopular. He was actually considered a traitor. He was known as a chief tax collector. And being known as a chief tax collector, that was being equivalent to being a chief sinner. That's what that actually meant. He was hated, he was despised, and he collected taxes on behalf of the Roman government. And the taxes that he collected, he actually took advantage of the people. He was known as a crook, as a thief. He was known as a schemer. He was known for lining his own pockets with money off the back of the people. But Zacchaeus hears. He hears that Jesus is passing through. He hears through the crowd that Jesus is coming through. He hears that Jesus had done miracles. He hears he has a reputation for being friendly with tax collectors. He hears he has a reputation for being friendly with prostitutes and with down and outs. And he wants to see him. Zacchaeus wants to see him that day. So what he does is he decides, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to run ahead. And I'm going to get ahead of this crowd. And he runs ahead. And when he runs ahead, he sees a sycamore fig tree. And because he's that short, he's able to actually get into the tree. So he climbs into the tree. And when I read this story, you know what? I actually don't see a man that was trying to hide. I don't see a man that was trying to hide. I see a man that wanted to get a clear view of who this Jesus is. I see a man who's curious. I see a man, despite his physical limitations of being short, he was short in stature, was determined to see who Jesus is. I see a man who took steps and ran ahead. I see a man with the faith as small as a mustard seed being radically transformed. I see a man who encountered the goodness of God and his lifestyle changed. What can you see? What can you see when you hear the story? You see, Zacchaeus, with his physical limitations of being short, you see, people recognized him from his size. And he was probably nicknamed, "Here comes Shorty, the tax collector." But Jesus spots him. And he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, come down." He called him by his name. He knew him by name. That's how God relates to us, and that's how God related to him. He knows who he is. He knows everything about him. And yet he says, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today for dinner. I'm coming to your house today for dinner." Jesus, the Son of God, says to this sinner, this tax collector, "I'm coming to your house today for dinner." And from this encounter, you can see the goodness of God. You can see the love of God. You can see the kindness of God. And Jesus goes and he has the meal with Zacchaeus. And on the way, the crowd are not happy. The crowd are grumbling. The crowd are complaining. And really why the people are complaining is because everybody that day wished that Jesus would have picked them. Isn't that right? And if we're honest as people, we feel that way when we get passed by. When we get passed by, whether it's for a promotion in work, whether it's for a promotion in church, whether it's not getting that wedding invite to that wedding that's taking place, or being asked to speak at that special event. With the crowd that day, an attitude of murmuring and complaining took place. And it's known as a spirit of self-pity. We feel sorry for ourselves. We begin to focus on ourselves. How we've been mistreated, how we've been misused. And we feel let down. But can I tell you this morning that murmuring and complaining has no trouble attracting a crowd. It's a godless pastime. and it refuses to believe that God can conquer any problem. And we might ask, is it right then to express our disappointments? And the answer is yes. We can express our disappointments as long as it's in an attitude that's grounded in the Word of God. And that God is in control. Because you see, when God is in control, he can intervene at any time. If he wishes to, or if he doesn't wish to. But that day, on the way to the house, Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give away half of my wealth. I'm going to give away half of my wealth to the poor. And what I love about this encounter, there's no sinner's prayer on the way. There's no sermon on the way. Zacchaeus is overwhelmed by the love of God, by the kindness of God, that God would actually take time out of his schedule and be with Zacchaeus, that was known as the chief tax collector. You know, that day, Jesus didn't get up into his face and say, I know you're a sinner. He didn't say to him, I know you're a chief tax collector. He didn't rebuke him. He didn't question him over his lifestyle. But you know what? From the scriptures, every time people encounter Jesus, there's always an impact. You see, just before Jesus met Zacchaeus, he had met a blind man. And the blind man calls out to him, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And Jesus turns and he restores his sight. This is what our God does. This is the love of the Father. And this chief tax collector began to see. He began to have a clear view. He became alive. The Spirit of God came and lived in him, and he was filled with the power of God. He was so overwhelmed with the power of God. He was radically transformed. He was radically converted. And that's what it means to be born again, that the Spirit of God comes and lives in us. Being born again is not like when your mother gave birth to you. It's actually the Spirit of God that comes and lives in you, that comes and breathes in and out through you. It's the Spirit of God that radically transforms us. It's power and life that cannot be taken away from you. And that's what happened to Zacchaeus that day. He was radically transformed. He met the living God. God took time out of his schedule to be with Zacchaeus that day. And from that, Zacchaeus was filled with joy. He was filled with excitement. He was filled with love. He was filled with a spirit of generosity that he went out and he gave back to the poor. His eyes were open to Jesus that day. They were open to the goodness of God. And you know, I believe people want to see what they can't see. They've put on limitations. They have put on a shortness of sight to see who God really is. I got a text message this week from Stephen Conway, and I thought it was so fitting for this sermon. And the opening line was, sometimes we can have our eyes on the Lord and not even see him. How true is that? How true is that? Sometimes we can have our eyes on the Lord and not even see him. And it brought me back to the scripture about the Apostle Peter, when Peter walked on the water. And Peter was doing fine when he walked on the water. And when he walked on the water, he kept his eyes focused on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to look at all his surroundings, he began to look at the wind and the wave and the water. And what happened? He began to sink. He began to go under. And he begins to cry out to God, Jesus, where are you? And the lesson is, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we have a shortness of sight. We put on limitations and we allow our circumstances and our situations, you know what, actually terrify us. But when we keep our focus on Jesus, miraculous things take place. Miraculous things take place when we keep our focus on Him. And for some, maybe you are allowing Jesus to pass by. Maybe you're just allowing Him to pass by through your life. I don't know what your story is here this morning. I don't know what your heart looks like. No more do you know what my heart looks like. But can I tell you, God does. He doesn't see a sinner. God doesn't see a sinner. He doesn't see a failure. And although we might put those labels on and people might put those labels on us, God doesn't see that. He only sees you. You, 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 you. He only sees you here this morning. When He looks down from heaven, He sees you here this morning. And let that resonate in your spirit. God sees you here this morning. He knows your name. You see, Zacchaeus looked beyond his limitations. He looked beyond his job profile. He looked beyond the accusing voices, the snares, the glances, and he got into a tree. He took a step, and Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him. He stepped up, he stepped in, and he stepped out. That's what he did. He stepped up, stepped in, and he stepped out. What tree do you need to step into? What tree has God created for you to be elevated higher into His presence, to know Him more? What tree do you need to step up, in, and out through this morning? In this house, we have built a tree called Stronger on a Wednesday night for you to come and climb into and see who God is. We've built a tree called Wow on a Tuesday morning, ladies, for you to come to step in and to find out who this God is. We've built a tree on a Sunday morning, if you have a heart for prayer, to pray in this house on a Sunday morning before the service. We've built a tree called Life Cafe for you to come and climb into and outreach to the youth in Dolphin's Barn. And we're building another tree for the outreach on the streets that Jason Rafferty is going to lead up. What tree do you need to step into this morning? You see, John 10:10 says, I've come to give you abundant life. I've come to give you fullness and richness of everything that you need. Everything you need is in Him. Everything. And my question to you this morning is, hands up who would say outreach is your tree. So we've no evangelists in the house. Amen. Hands up who would say outreach is your tree. Okay, amen. Hands up who would say women is your tree. Hands up who would say preaching is your tree. Come on, come on, there's more in the house. Hands up who would say preaching is your tree. Amen. Hands up who would say worship is your tree. Come on. Hands up who would say hospitality is your tree. Hands up who would say youth and children are your tree. Amen. Amen. Well, now it's your time. It's time to plant it. It's time to water it. It's time to grow it. And it's time to become fruitful in it. And this is what God does. When we step up, in, and out, God will come and water what He has put in you to do for His kingdom. Amen. And just finishing. Amen. Amen. Zacchaeus, he climbed out of his tree into freedom. When he stepped up, he got a clear view of who God was. He got a clear view. When Jesus called him down by name to go and have a meal at his house, Zacchaeus was in the presence of the Almighty God. He was in the presence of the Almighty God. He had an encounter, And every day we have encounters with God. He stepped out into freedom. He was changed from the inside out. He was not the same person. He had a different ambition. You see, he built a new tree. He had a new ministry. And the new ministry was giving his money away. What tree do you need to step out of to gain freedom? For some, it could be a tree of complaining and murmuring. It could be a tree of limitations and shortness of sight. Are you spiritually blind this morning? And for some, it could be a tree of fearfulness. It could be a tree of stepping out from hiding from God. Some of you need to step into the tree that you know God is calling you. He is calling you onto higher ground. He's calling you by name this morning. You know, God spoke to me just before Christmas about stepping out. About stepping out of one tree into a new tree. He spoke to me about doing a women's conference here in this house this year for 2017. And you know what? There's times I question it. There's times I get scared. There's times I'm like, have I really heard from God, or was that just in my head? But can I tell you this morning, I have to keep my eyes on him. I have to keep my focus on him. Because if I don't, I'll be like Peter and I'll sink in the water. We've got to start looking to him and stop looking at the surroundings. We've got to trust in him and we've got to let him lead us by the guidance of his Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And as the guys come back, there's a song I want to play as well on the overhead. And guys, I want this to minister to you as well. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Some of you need to step up in and out this morning.